Everybody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We desire that you would get your notes out. That would be helpful. And we are going to pick up from where we left off on last week. I promise you, if you were not here on last week, or if you are viewing in for the very first time, you can certainly take a look on last week's, but I don't think that you will miss anything if you would start with us today. And everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is Clea in here? Oh, you are in here. Yeah, no problem. Let's get started. Everybody say amen. Amen. All right. We want to help you shine. We want to do what?
Help you shine.
Might want to turn me down just a tad bit, Vincencia. To help you shine. And last week we started in on a particular word. And so we want to let you know a couple of things in order to get us on track and running right away. This was not in last week, so you want to pick up from here right away. I want to first of all do this. I want to define and describe what it means to shine. What it means to what?
Shine.
You see, the actual word biblically in the scriptures from a biblical definition, the word shine means to beam. To what?
Beam.
The illustration that it uses is to radiate brilliancy. To radiate what? The next one is much more of an applicable or very relevant understanding of what we mean, no matter who you are, what you are. When we talk about we want to shine in life, it means to be extremely good at an activity or skill in an obvious way. Somebody say amen. So when we talk about we want to shine, we know that we want to beam. We want to radiate brilliancy. We want to be able to be extremely good at an activity, at a skill in an obvious way. How many know when you are walking in something and you are shining, everybody sees it? Amen. Praise God. So when we talk about light, I want to define and describe light. The first one was shine. The second one is what?
Light.
This is one of my most favorite of what has been found among the scholars in the word light. It means a heavenly light, such as surrounds angels, like when they appeared at Jesus' birth. And it also is the same light that we see when Jesus was transfigured. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
We're talking about light. And when we say we want to shine, we shine with light. Let your light so shine. When we talk about shining, we're talking about letting our light shine. And we're talking about something that only heaven can give. We're not talking about something that you can train yourself in. We're talking about something that only heaven can give. So get this. The definition scripturally means a star. The word light also can mean the word what? That's why we also talk about the word lamp. And we also talk about the word torch. The word literally translate light means torch. It means what?
Torch.
Come on now, talk back with me. Amen. This is how we learn and grow. So it means torch. Why is that significant? Well, think about this. That young man, I think he was in third grade, when they found out his dad was going to be the one that carried the flag into the Olympics, he went to his class and he stood in front of him and told him, my dad is going to carry. Did y'all see that? How many of you know we get very excited? We become something almost as it were proud about. We want to represent. We want to be a good patriot. And we want to represent. I say this, how much more should we be carrying a torch in order that we might represent the kingdom of God and the king who made the kingdom, because we carry the torch into all of life because Jesus Christ is the light and he then called us the light of the world. I want to carry a torch. Give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. My God. I wonder if we get more excited about carrying it for the states or the nation, which is great. Don't come up and do a wrestling move on me, amen? got an Olympian in the house, amen? What I'm saying is, though, but I would much rather, because all of us, only a few of us will go to the Olympics, but all of us can be able to carry a torch for the king and the kingdom. My God. The word light means fire. It means what?
Fire.
Because it is light and sheds light. That's a true definition. The word light means fire. It means what? Because it is light and it sheds light. Here's one that's more studious or, as it were, understanding why the Bible and the Word and the Scriptures mean so much. Is because the word light means of truth, of knowledge. Together, get this, with spiritual purity, it is what makes that which is exposed to view to all openly and publicly. Here's what that means. Aunt Peggy, it means this. If something has a light, then it's not hidden. Did you get that? So in other words, we can't be talking about something, oh, I'm just letting my light shine. Are y'all with me? No, because when you let your light shine, it means that it's going to be public. It means that it's going to be seen. It means that it's going to be visible. Let me tell you why that's so important. Because Jesus wants to be glorified. Everything that's good in your life, God wants to be glorified. God wants the world to know, I did that. So therefore, you want to make it known. Now, how many know that's a difference in a heart when you want to be seen versus I can't help for being seen? Somebody say amen. My God, it's getting, now it's got serious up in here. Even now you done gone to meddling, Pastor. How many know God's not looking for people that's trying to look for attention? God's looking for people that can't help with getting attention to glorify him. Amen. Somebody say amen. So therefore, we understand what the word light means. Let's keep going. You want to get this. This is really huge. Harvey, check this out. It says, let your light shine, because to be the light in times of darkness means to be the light in times of what?
Darkness.
Is that you offer hope when there is none. That's a good moan right there. You see, when you let your light shine in times of darkness, it means you offer encouragement when it's needed most. I'll say this now rather than coming back to this point, Sister Lori, is this. How many know we shouldn't run away from things? We should run to things. That's a good word. How many know we shouldn't be running away from dark situations? We should be running towards it. That's a good word. How many know we shouldn't be running away from conflicts in the office? We should be stepping in the middle of it. Because Jesus called us peacemakers, that shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Do you know that's one of the labels that God calls children of God, is that you would be a peacemaker? Somebody say amen. How many know you can't say, meet me over at the water. I'm going to tell you what she did. Got some smiles up in here. You know, you got to keep your face straight, because you know you might be giving yourself away when you do that. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. You're like, oh, now see, there he go again. You know, honey, I don't know if we're going to keep coming to this church, because he all up in my business. Are you with me? Amen. I know there's all kind of cameras today, but I promise I don't have any of them on you. All right. Amen. To be light in times of darkness means that you offer kindness despite being surrounded by hate. To offer light in times of darkness means that you offer compassion in a world that cares only about the bottom line. That should have been an amen right there. To be the light in times of darkness means that you offer patience when you are met with impatience. How many know everybody can be patient when everybody's being patient? Come on, Mama Clinton, right? It's only when people start being pressured is that you need to be poised. That was a note taker right there. How many know when you're feeling pressure is when many of us begin to let things out that we didn't plan on? So therefore, we've got to get more Holy Ghost in us so that when you push on me with pressure, the only thing you're going to get to come out of me is Holy Ghost. I see I'm going to have to preach to myself today, amen. Listen, it says this, to let light come in times of darkness means you offer to pick up another, dust them off, give them a hand so they can regain their light and glow. Here's something you want to add to this, Sister Sarah. One more note. This means that we don't go and already upset because they never should have been in it in the first place. Right? How many know that's what we have to fight through in our hearts? Well, see, if she never would have went over there. No, that's not what that says. No, if we're going to be light, we want to be able to dust them off. We want to be able to, you know, give them a hand. We want to be able to, so that they can regain their light. Is everybody with me? Is there a scripture for that? I don't mind you ask. What about the gentleman that was carrying the loot and he got jumped by the bandits? He never should have went down that street. He was just carrying. We don't know what the young man was doing. But how many know the Good Samaritan came and did all these things? Somebody say amen. Amen. Look at this. To be the light in times of darkness means, get this, you offer Jesus. Your word starts prayers and actions, and what?
Action.
And what?
Action.
Are salted with Jesus, and it's shown through the mega lights of your soul. That's so good. What we want to do is to help you shine. These are the four areas that we believe we want to help you shine in. And the more we go along in these weeks and the more prayer requests we see coming along and the more testimonies that keep pouring out, we believe definitely these are the four areas by which we believe all year long. And then that turns into 2 years, and 2 years turns into a decade, and a decade turns into two decades. And next thing you know, we'll be living and shining until we go and see you with Jesus in glory. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We want to help you shine with people. We want to help you shine in Christ Jesus. We want to help you shine in purpose, and we want to help you shine as a person. So, would you please read with me Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 to 14, the Amplified Bible, ready, set, read. For it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, that is, strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. Somebody say, praise God. I think as much as you can to review over what that says and break that down, maybe put this on the mirror in your bathroom or on the bedpost or something like that. This is a very good word for you to understand. It's both God to want to in you and to fulfill and accomplish the purpose that he created you. Can I get you to write this down? It's not in the notes. Some of us have been discussing, and I've been talking about this with 40-year-old people, 22-year-old people, 50-year-old people, even some, you know, people that are in their latter senior sensational years. How many of you know there are people still trying to understand their purpose? I'm going to come over here on that one. There are some people that are still trying to understand their what?
Purpose.
I can guarantee you teenagers and young adults in their 30s and people in high school and graduate students and fathers back there and students that are going over their doctor's degrees and high school students that just started getting a new job. How many know everywhere you go, people are looking for their what?
Purpose.
Write this down real quickly. It's not in the notes. Purpose, say purpose.
Purpose
is why a thing was created. Don't get deep with that. A purpose is why the creator created a thing. So you don't go to the thing and ask it why you were created. They wasn't sure over there, Matthew. You don't go to the created thing and say, why do you exist? Because the thing that got created doesn't know why. You have to go to the creator to understand why that was created. Is everybody with me? You don't go to the grocery store and ask them, well, what's this iPad for? You go to the iPad creator and say, what's this iPad for? Oh, you need to set up, where would you like to be? What's your name? I mean, you know, they're still not going to tell you real quick, amen? The issue is you got to go to the thing that created you. So wait a minute. If God created us, then maybe we ought to go to God and why he made me. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Since God created me, I need to know why God created me. And guess what? You know, I don't know if you ever play around like this. Sometimes I think, you know, God, you could have created me during those times of those knights in armor. I would have wanted to wear one of them. You know what I'm saying? I think I could have jolted pretty good. Jolted, you know what I'm saying? God, I could have wore that chonk, you know. But God said, no, I need you to be in the 21st century. They couldn't handle you in them other centuries anyway, amen. So my point is, God didn't make a mistake. So why are you baffled about why you're here? God picked you to be here right now, on time, who you are, with all the right eye colors and all the right hair and all the right foot size and all the right jokes and all the things that God made you do. It's because he wants to use every single thing about you. Somebody say amen. God didn't make a mistake. God did you on purpose. He was intentional. He was providential. And he knew he needed you because he can only get that light through you. How many understand? In a few minutes, we're going to see there are no two stars or a light. When he created Mother Wise Cup, he created different from me. Mother Wise Cup is going to reach some people. I'm going to reach some people. Sister Dr. Angela is going to fly all around the world. I'm going to drive all around Ames. I don't care who you are, what you are. I'm going to be able to be used by the one who made me because he saved me. He gave me. And therefore, he wants me to go out and shine the stars to everyone I can. Give the Lord a praise offering. So why am I going to do anything? Read verse 14. Ready, set, read. Do everything without murmuring or questioning the providence of God. Keep reading. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom then you will shine among them like stars in the sky or universe. Keep reading. Shine as lights in the world. And everybody said amen. Amen. So this is part of Philippians chapter 2, which is our home text. Can we keep going? I've taken away some of the screens, but because of this message and where this word goes, we want to capture a few of these words with me. If I drop out, I need you to read it. It says this, two of the slides says this. As you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born, and in the vapor of your breath, the planets form. Were made to worship, then I can see your heart in everything you made, every burning star. Do you remember the definition of shining and light? Deals with burning. Deals with what? Every burning, a signal. How many of you know stars? The word light means fire. A signal, fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, then what? If you gladly chose surrender, you gladly chose what? Turn to your neighbor and say surrender. If Jesus gladly chose surrender, then what? I can see your heart a billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. And if you gave your life to love them, I want to say this because it certainly caught us in the first service as well. I think that even we as believers, and no matter where we are in our tenure of believing, we could be senior saints, we could be very new in the faith of Christ or whatever, but I want us to be very careful about something. And that is, when we look at scriptures like or songs and reads like that, it says, and your life to love them. And many of us get excited, we throw up our hands, and our heart gets all filled up because Jesus is loving us. Everybody say amen. But then when it comes to the next part, so will I. How many know it goes a little faint, right? Oh, and Jesus loved them. So will they. I like to present this thought. The more you grow in Christ, the more you grow in Jesus, the more you grow in his love, I like to maybe offer this thought. Can you imagine that actually maybe perhaps the more you love on his behalf, he pours out even more love on you? You see, we're kind of like the one that stored all of his riches up in a barn. And really, God wants to pour out his love on us so that we pour out love in the world. God wants us to light. He wants to give us so much light because we light up the world. God wants us to have so much life in us that we light up, that we have life for the world. And I say this in humbleness and not false sense of humility, because just a different world, a different life. Literally, honestly, I know most of y'all are smarter than I am. I know most of y'all have higher IQs than I do. Guaranteed, most of y'all have more degrees than I do. But you know, the one little thing I have that maybe others don't is that I just got a whole bunch of energy. Honestly. Guess what? So if you gave me energy, so will I. You see what I mean? Not everybody's going to make sure you hug 20 people in here. You know, you might get two. You know, I'm going to get about 30 of y'all, right? And guess what? It's just a little thing, but if it lights up somebody, then God is allowing that light to shine upon you. And it was a little bit better, Ethan. right? I can say, you know what, Ethan? I know you don't know your dad, and I know you're trying to understand how to be a dad today. You know, I think I know a little bit about that, but man, my little daddy and that I've done, I could do with you. How many understand that you are receiving blessings from God? God wants you to not get stuck on that. God wants you to give blessings. But I dare you to give more blessings, because if you give more blessings, guess what God keeps doing? You can never outgive God. I want you to understand, you cannot outgive God. You cannot outprovide God. God will come back and give unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall he have men pour into you, and you didn't even expect it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh my God, that's so good. We'll read fast. Look, I want to remind us on these things about stars, and this is very important, because looking, I'm liking us to stars. I'm not doing that. The scripture did this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. The scripture likens stars to us. Likens stars to who? So look at this. Stars are likened to those who turn and lead many to right relationship with God. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the what? Forever and ever. Here's one more thing about stars. Here's characteristics about stars. Therefore, it's characteristics about you and me. One star differs uniquely from another star in splendor, glory, and gifting. That means, you'll see it in a minute. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 41 says this, the sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in splendor. How many know that we don't have to compare ourselves to one another, and I don't have to be mad with you about how much you shine? I don't have to be upset because your voice is prettier than mine. I don't have to be upset because you're a bigger star than I am. How many understand God's got a splendor, a gifting, and a grace just for me, and all I need to do is receive what he has for me, and I want to give him glory from right here, from how I am shining as a star. Amen. I don't need to be jealous. I don't need to be mad. I don't need to be upset. I just want to be what God made me to be. Say that with me. I just want to be who God created me to be. To be in my purpose. To receive my call. In Jesus' name. We're going to give you an opportunity for that today. Listen. The Holy One brings out starry hosts. Read the all the capitals. Ready, set, read. Calls them forth each by name. One more time. And he does what? He calls them forth each by name. Isaiah chapter 40, I'm just going to read verse 26. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens, who created all these. He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, get this, not one of them is missing. Isn't that powerful? Listen, that means not one of them is missing. I'm going to go over here. Not one of them is missing. Amen. You've got all of these stars, and God has not left out not one of them. He didn't forget them. He didn't leave them out. God says that they're different. They're unique. I made them like that. If he can do fingerprints, how many know he can do stars like that? I got one. Somebody couldn't help themselves in first service. You know what they did? Did you just do that inside somebody? Thank you, Bose. Look. Just I want you to look at there. Something ought to just say, wow. This is not like, photo manipulation or anything. This is one of the top five places in the world in order to see the stars. It's not in the U.S. But listen, I picked this picture because I want to tell you a little story. Some of you all may know or maybe remember some of my stories, but here's the thing. When I was in undergrad, it was 2 years in between freshman and sophomore, in between sophomore and junior year. I used to be a camp counselor. I used to be a camp counselor at an all-Jewish camp down in Lake of the Ozarks. Lake of the Ozarks is, at that time, was considered to be the largest man-made lake in our country. And in that particular lake, they were on this land that was a peninsula. It's only one way in and one way out, and water surrounded the whole land, beautiful land. They had absolutely everything you could imagine. They had kayaking, they had canoes and rowboats and ski boats and swimming and diving and sailboats and equestrian and rifles. I mean, they just had everything. And I used to be a counselor there for a couple of years. And where our cabins was, the unit that I was overseeing, there you could walk down this hill, and it was on top of a hill, and you could walk down this hill, and you get just beyond the trees, and you walked out just on the edge, and you open up to the lake. And I never will forget when I looked up, and I don't mind being a little naive and a little gullible here, but the stars were so big and they felt so close that I thought I could reach them. I want you to understand something. I used to kind of sneak over there, and I just look up, you know. I had no real great understanding of God at the time, but I thought that was brilliant and beautiful. Somebody say amen. So the reason I said I wanted to wait till I get to this picture, if it's this many stars, innumerable, then I don't have any reason to be jealous of another one. Because God has created us all to give him glory. That's how big God is. God needs all of us to shine in order to give him glory. Each of us represent an expression of his beauty. Each of us, when we bow down or worship or run or dance, sing, whatever it is, that's why it's called to make a joyful noise, because some of us don't have to make it sound good. I'm telling you, we need to learn how to give it up for God, because when you hold it back, the rocks will cry out. And I say this, as long as I'm living, I don't need a rock to be speaking up on my behalf. I'm going to take my spot and give them glory. I'm going to praise them. I don't need a granite. I don't need a stone to sneak out and say something on my behalf when I can, in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a praise offering. My God. Say wow.
Wow.
Here's the thing I want you to understand. Why could we see the stars so beautiful? Here it is. You got to get this. It's because of two reasons. It removed all of the distracting light. You see, when you stepped out on that edge, all of the camp light, even though it was dark back then, it removed every distracting light. So the stars just seemed so much brighter. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But number two, is because when you stepped out there over the water and everything, it was just absolutely dark. How many know things of light shine up brighter when it's in the contrast to dark? How many know stars shine up brighter when it's in contrast? Everybody with me? I want to share with you. Would you read these out loud? Ready, set, read. Stars are likened to those who are wise, which turn and lead many to right relationship with God. One star differs uniquely from another star in splendor, glory, and gifting. The Holy One brings out starry hosts and calls them forth each by name. Not one is missing. And everybody said, amen. I want to remind you that this is part two, and I can do this in the next few minutes. I want to deal with this end of this question, and that is how to answer God's call. How to answer God's call. Doesn't matter if you're 15, doesn't matter if you're 52, doesn't matter if you are beyond those years, and I will talk about that in a minute. But if I want you to hear this, how to answer God's what? How to answer God's what? Upon your life. This is part two. What we have discovered about a call on your life is this, is that every single one of you want to know, why did God create me? Why am I here right now? And God, what are you asking of me right now? This isn't a permanent thing. This might be a right now thing. But here's something I want everybody in this room to hear. Do you realize one of the issues about a call is some of us are holding ourselves back because we feel like we missed our mark. We feel like we missed our moment. We felt like, you know what? Oh, my God, I had that dream, but now I'm too old for that. Some of us are living more in the regrets of things, and I wish I should have, could have, and I don't know why that happened that way, but now I messed it up. And now I can't fulfill it, and now I can't do it. I want you to understand, that's not biblical. That's not biblical. I want you to understand, no matter what you were created and designed for, God is well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power of God that worketh within you. Why is that? It's because you are counting yourself on your scale and what you can do and what you did not do. And God is looking at you in eternity and saying, I know why he made you. I know why I breathed in you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew what the course was going to be for you. And you know what? Don't you worry. I can get you a speed start. Even though you messed up and feel like you backslide, I can fast forward you. I can put you on one of them things like an airport elevator, and all of a sudden you going faster, passing people up. God knows how to do what you cannot do, so stop counting yourself out. Glory to God. Say it out loud. So how to answer God's call. Some of y'all was saying, you know what, man, Pastor sure does yell. I got that. But here's why. God's gift and calling is not withdrawn. Look at what the Amplified Bible says. This is as plain as we can get it for the message. Verse 29 says this, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For he does not withdraw. He does not what?
Withdraw.
What he has given. Nor does he change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. That is so powerful. Do you understand? Now I'll go back to the message. That's why I always preach about and always bring up the lady that I know from St. Louis, who when she was 59 years of age, she was an RN, and she used to run a house for children, and she took 2 credit cards, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, she started partnering with big corporations all around the world to make a facility and a center for everyone, showed up on the Oprah show and all that kind of stuff. How is that you can do that? Because she didn't let her age, stage, or her page stop her from what God created her to do. And why are you? My God, you didn't hear me. He said, man, that was a lot of rhymes. You right about that. I said, your stage. Doesn't matter what stage you are in life. Well, I've got these many children now. Or you know what? The children graduated. Or you know what? How am I going to get them to do this now? No, doesn't matter your stage. Guess what? Doesn't matter your age. This is not based on how old you are or how old you're not. The God can still fulfill through you whatever he needs to do. I mean, understand, when Moses got back and set them free, he was already 80-some years old. My God, let me tell you something. God can do whatever he needs to do when he needs to do it with you, because he didn't make a mistake. Even though we might have made a mistake, I hear the word of God saying, now I know that all things work together for good to them who what? Love God and are called according to his. That's why you need to understand, you're not off track. I just need to get back on track where God wants me to be. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. They're without being withdrawn. God did not change his mind why he made Dwayne Weisskopf, why he made Sabrina. He did not all of a sudden be like, yeah, we're going to have to send her over to reject aisle. She didn't just taking it too far now. Let me understand. Exactly. Y'all, you know what? This is where some of y'all need to start. If y'all don't have an amen, you at least can have this. You know what? We're going to have a new section. That's going to be this section right here. All of y'all don't have an amen, just. That doesn't go there. Everybody turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Leave your Bibles open. This is the last passage that we'll have to use our Bibles for. 1 Samuel chapter 3. I believe God's going to do something special in here today. Yes, Lord. I'm going to read this first part from the New Living Translation, probably all of it just for the sake of time. But I want to read these first 3 verses. These are the verses we went over last week. I want to bring you up to date. Notice what the scripture says in verse 1. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. I want to stop right here to make sure you hear a couple of things. First of all, remember I said this last week. It was not that revelations and visions and different things that were coming from heaven or coming from God did not happen. It's just that it was rare and it was few. Is everybody with me? But I want to say it again. If this room was completely dark and you still lit a match or you still turn on a light, that light would light up the room. Is everybody with me? All around could be darkness, but it only takes one light. Somebody say amen. So then it says, then one other thing. Scholars say this. Notice that every time we're mentioning Samuel is in the active duties with the Lord. He's always active doing the things that are for the temple or for the things with God. Everybody with me? Verse 2. One night, Eli, who was almost blind, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. Stop. I know King James, New King James, other kind of traditional translations says it this way. I kind of prefer it that way. It says that his eyes grew dim. Now, I want to say something. Remember I said it doesn't matter your age or your stage? You see, some of us can say, well, he's getting old. Well, don't forget. The Bible says that Moses also very much, I think it was like at least 120 or so, his eyes did not grow dim. So we can't say it's based on age. It's something much more at work that's going on spiritually in his life. There's much more going on because his time is coming to a close, but he's still in the office of high priest. Everybody said amen. Amen. Then it says in verse 3, the lamp of God. Say the lamp of God. Remember the lamp of God. Wherever you see lamp, it also means light. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. And everybody said amen. Amen. I want you to catch this thought. I know I talked about this verse in a way last week, but I want to kind of reframe it a little bit. I want to call the light, only King James and New King James says that the light went out. And all the other translations says that it had not gone out yet. There's a couple of things I want to talk about because now I want to use this lamp and this light as being it had not gone out. It had not what? But how many know if it goes out, it's going to be dark? Is everybody with me? So that's why, again, the title is called Lights About Out. Lights about what? I want to compare this to what we've been living in our world in these past 3-4 years. Everybody with me? You see, in 2020 and 2021 and 2022, and I just want to be really clear here, and that is, I want to make the comparison. The message is all revolved around this verse and around this thought, is that it feels like even though some things are over or some things are not, and pandemic is gone and pandemic back, and all of these things, and we say politics is over, but it's really not, and what are we going to do with face masks? We don't really know, and are you vaccinated, and are you mad with ethnicities, and all the world so divided, and you know who's going to be coming in 2024, and all of these things going on in the world, and now we've got oppressions over in over through the things that's taking place in China, and all I'm saying is that not just in the country, not just in the city, not just with police, not just with ethnicity, not just in different places, but it just feels like things are going on, and it feels like there's little revelation and little rarity of people speaking forth the word of God and authority taking place. Why is that? Because light's about out. Do you see what I mean? But how many understand? Don't forget, if the light goes out, don't forget, when I stepped out on the edge of Lakewood, the shining stars were still bright. When you step out in the darkness, what should be shining is the... Though it's dark outside, what should be shining? That's us. Somebody say amen. Say light's about out. Number two, as I shared last week, the significance of the light almost being out is because it's revealing time. It's revealing time because, get this, it's important, is because what it's indicating is that it's not just like the light's about to go out, but it means it's right before dawn. Stay with that. And if it's right before dawn, then it's right before sunrise. And if it's right before sunrise, then it's not going to be dark. That's very important. Even though the light is about out, oh, y'all don't get it. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning time. You see, even though the light's about to be out, see, some of us need to stop worrying and fretting and being fearful. Oh, we don't know what's going to happen to the young people. Oh, we don't know why they're so, so bad. Oh, the world is going to hell in a hell basket. The devil is a liar. The kingdom of God is the greatest kingdom of all. And his kingdom is above all other kingdoms. And as far as Jesus is concerned, he's still the light of the world. Hallelujah. Say, Jesus is is still
the light of the world.
Hallelujah. But for those that are biblical scholars, let's keep going. I've got these four pictures up there because each of them help us understand what we're trying to communicate about what happens in this story. First of all, in the upper left-hand corner, we just have a flame. We have a what?
Flame.
Representing a light, representing, you know, it's either strong or it's dimming or whatever the case may be. But when you look across from it, I want to remind you that this lamp was made of gold. It was made of what?
Gold.
And it was very large. Not only was it large and was it gold, but it was also designed by God to look like a tree. To look like a what?
Tree.
Not just a tree, but an almond tree. So this was to look like an almond tree, and it was meant to be large because it was to look like a tree, an almond tree, but also they had to make sure that they kept the oil in it to make the lamps burning. We see that there were seven. That means completion, perfection. It's gold, which means deity and divinity. And then it also is supposed to stay on, and that light was supposed to burn forever. And therefore, we understand that this is a very significant lampstand because it's called the lamp of God. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
The reason I want to show you the picture right below it is because that's the symbol of this particular picture in 1 Samuel chapter 3, where that young man would be someone that would be like Samuel. And the Bible says, and Samuel, he slept near the Ark of the Covenant. And now scholars would say more so that the curtain probably was still there. So the Ark of the Covenant was on the other side, but the lamp was there in the holy place. So therefore, my point here is this. He was taking care of the lamp, but on the other side was the Ark of the Covenant. You need to take notes right here. You see, the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. I said the Ark of the Covenant represents the what? This is huge. I've only got to go fast forward. The reason we want to know this is because whatever God's about to do, it comes from his presence. Everything that God's about to light up and everything he's going to make sure takes place in your life is because of the presence of God. It's not because of what you do. It's not because of your works. It's not because you're a goody two-shoes. It's not because you're earning everything. It's going to be because of one reason, because of the presence of God. The one that I started crying last night as I was driving and listening to this message, not this message, another message, because the gentleman started laying in over the presence of God. Over the what?
Presence of God.
I don't know about you. I don't need new formulas. I don't need equations. I'm not very good at them anyway. I may not even need a list. Don't give me a task list because I'll miss some of them. What I need more than anything is a person. I need the person of Jesus Christ. I need the personhood of his goodness. I need somebody that's personal and knows to be intimate with me because he knows me. I need to be with somebody that may not judge me because if he judged me, it's going to be a good, even, quick slice because he's got the Holy Spirit to comfort me right back after he cut me up. Are you with me? I need to have Jesus Christ, someone that loves me so much that I don't have to doubt his love or what he might be up to try to get to me. I want somebody that loves me for who I am, and I want to love him with everything I got, like selfless abandon. Are you with me? All I'm trying to get you to understand is the presence. Say presence.
Presence.
So here is Samuel, and one scholar says it this way. He, of all of children of Israel, he was the closest to the ark. Therefore, he was the closest to the presence. And therefore, since he was closest to the presence, then not only that, how many know everything that was in the chest or the Ark of the Covenant represents something powerful? I can't go through all of those right quick, but I want to remind you at least of a couple of things. Here is this. First of all, on the top was the mercy seat. Say mercy seat. Not only that, but on the inside of them, at least one thing I want to talk about is the branch. That branch was cut off on both ends. It was not connected to anything, but it still, get what? It still blooded, it still bloomed and blossomed almonds. Oh, you didn't get that. Let me go over here. It still bloomed, and it wasn't stuck in the ground. It didn't have a vine. It didn't have anything running into this way. It didn't have anything running that way. That means our God is supernatural, and he can blossom anything he needs to bring forth out of your life. You might say you're a dead twig, but God says, no, you're not, because I'm on the inside of you. I'm the one who made you. I'm the one who created you, and I can blossom and bring forth anything out of you that I myself put in you. It doesn't matter what your neighbor said. It doesn't matter what your background says. It doesn't matter what side of the track you came from. It doesn't matter what your bank account says. My God, you don't need money, you need provision. I say our God is the one who provides every single of our needs. Give the Lord a big praise offering. My God, Jesus Christ. I could preach this all day twice on Sunday. My God. Listen, this corner in the left-hand corner is this. I put that one up here because can you see? It's got seven of those candles, but some of them have gone out. Some of them are almost out. I'm just trying to play off that thought of light's about out. Say that with me. Lights about. Lights about out. I got to hurry up. Here's how we know what the responsibility was of Samuel in this case. Exodus chapter 27, verses 20 to 21 says this. Command the people of Israel to bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light. For the what?
Light.
To keep the lamps burning continually. The lampstand will stand in the tabernacle. That's the one we just saw, right? In front of the inner curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant. Aaron and his sons must keep the lamps burning. Get this, it's very important, y'all. In the Lord's what? From evening to morning. You see, this represents time. Why is that? Because, get this, if they were to keep the lamps burning from evening until morning, because when morning comes, the daylight is there. Isn't that good? Say daylight.
Daylight.
Say I'm going to shine
at night and day.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Ah, I can't do this. How do I do this? Turn your Bibles to chapter 1. Just check back to Samuel, to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to get there. I'll keep reading from the New Living Translation to do everything I can to keep it simple. 1 Samuel chapter 1. I want to give you some background of Samuel's life. We're going to start at verse 9, verse 9 to 11. You'd want to see this, even if you know it. I want you to see it. He, verse 9, he will, am I right? Nope, did it, same thing I did. Sorry. Verse 9. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. She went to go what?
Pray.
Eli and the priest was sitting at the customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in a deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven of armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime and as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord. His hair will never be cut. Everybody said amen. Can I get you to jump down to verse 12? As she was praying to the Lord, as she was what? Eli watched her, seeing her lips moving, but hearing not a sound. He thought she had been drinking. Must you come in here drunk? He demanded. Throw away your wine. Oh, no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. I'm going to make a big point here in just a minute. Don't think I am a wicked woman, for I have been praying. I have been what? It's like three times we've seen this. For I have been praying out of a great anguish and sorrow. Does everybody see this? I want to just say this little point because it's kind of a big point in our personal lives. I think we should not be guilted out of not praying when we're in anguish and sorrow. What do I mean by that? You know, there's some of us come from backgrounds that says like this, you know, well, you should just have more faith, right? The Bible just said that she was praying when she was in anguish and sorrow. All I'm trying to say is that if there's somebody I'm supposed to go to when I'm in anguish and sorrow, it ought to be to the Lord. And that's why I cannot necessarily go by what you say to me when I know I'm dealing with what I got to deal with. In other words, you know what? I know what I'm in. I know what I'm going through. And I know what I need from the Lord. So if I praise the Lord with my hands lifted, if I stretch out myself to pray, if I roll over and pray in tongues, if I call out to the name of the Lord, Lord, come. If I just cry out, help, whatever I might do, look here. I might be in sorrow. I might be in anguish. Whatever I'm going through, I'm going to the Lord with it. Give the Lord Jesus a praise offering. Be freed to go to God. Don't be guilted and shamed out of going to the Lord. Come on. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. What verse am I on? Let's do this. Let's jump over to chapter 3. Oh, you know what? Just the end of the scripture. Let's go to verse 26. Let's do that. That's what we'll do. In chapter 1, verse 26. Sir, do you remember me? Hannah asked. I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me a boy, and he has granted my request.
Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worship the Lord there.
Everybody said amen. Amen. For those of you all know this passage of scripture or story, we want to make sure we got this straight. Hannah, her womb was barren, and Eli, from that scene when she was praying, says, you know what? You know what? If that's the case that you're here praying, may you go in peace. May you go in shalom. May you be blessed. And the Bible says, get this, that she went back home, started eating, and she was sad no more. Can I break that down? You see, what this means is, don't think about the priests, because now the Bible says we all have been kings and priests. We are of a royal priesthood. Everybody with me? So therefore, I want you to know, all that that's saying is that sometimes Kyle ought to turn over and pray for Reagan, or maybe AJ should pray for Derek, or Mother Peggy should pray over here for what this new couple right here that just got engaged, or maybe the, you know, some of the college students should come over and pray over the high school students and lay hands on them and speak life. Because the Bible says she went back home, was not sad, and she started eating. All I'm saying is that we've got to learn how to be a blessing to one another. We need to learn how to give life to one another by speaking truth and prophecy. Somebody say amen. I'm going to try to make it fast here. I want you to jump to chapter 3 and verse 4. We're rounding it out right now. Chapter 3 and verse 4. Want to remember, it's how to answer the call of God. Verse 4. Suddenly the Lord called. Suddenly the Lord did what? He called out to. Yes, Samuel replied. What is it? He got up and ran to Eli. Here am I, King James says. Here am I. Did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called out again. The Lord called. The Lord what? Out again. Samuel. Again, Samuel got up and ran to Eli. Here am I. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son, Eli asked. Eli said, go back to bed. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Whoa. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, because he had never had a message from the Lord before. I'm going to come back to that. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here am I. Did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord. It was who? The Lord. Who was what? Calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. God truly did call him. He did answer. And then God gave him a word that he was supposed to speak. I want to talk about, did y'all see that scripture where it says Samuel did not know the Lord? Everybody see that? Wait a minute. He just was dedicated to the Lord to be there his whole entire life. Everybody with me? Can I tell you how that speaks to us today? You see what he knew? Can I modernize that for a second? You know what he knew? He knew church. Right? What he knew church. And what I mean by that is he knew how to play the drums for the church. He knew how to sing in the tenor section with the choir. Are y'all with me, right? He knew how to be on the praise team. I mean, no, he knew how to do the communion, and he knew how to say amen with the pastor, because he was going to make, you know, the pastor was going to make him say amen. So he knew how to say amen, and when he came in, he knew how to give the church smile. Bless the Lord. How many of you know there are people that know church, but they may not know the Lord? I got to make this a solution quickly. He and we need an encounter with Jesus. We need an encounter with Jesus Christ. This is not a religion. This is not some mind, you know, mind over matter, something positivity. No. We need to know the person, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, who came to the earth to save humankind. And when he was died, he did it by sacrificing his life to be crucified. And when he was crucified, he went the whole way. He didn't stop half the way. He went all the way, and he died. And when he got buried, he knew he was going to be there for a borrowed time. So that's when he got up on the third day, according to the scriptures. And when he got up, he was raised from the dead. And he says, you know what? All power, all authority has been given to me. Heaven, hell, and beneath hell. Heaven, earth, and beneath the earth. And he says, now I am commissioning you to go and make disciples among all men. Just as I've made you a disciple, I want you to make, this is what he's trying to say. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify God in heaven. Because now I have paved the way. I inaugurated the kingdom. And now I need my church to rise up. I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And you'll be able to do greater works than I did. I was only here for 33 and a half years. You'll be here from now on for centuries. And my people will not be bound. My people will shine as the lights in the sky. And that's why that verse was written. Because it was written for me and you. It wasn't written for me. It wasn't written for you. It was written for all of us as one people. Why? He says, I'll get to that in a minute. I gotta hurry up. No, I promise I'll get to it. Here's what we want to get. He got called. He got what? So here's the answers. In this world, there could be darkness. There could be what? It could be five people that you know in your friendship circle. It could be the man that's off to the right who's in major anguish. It could be this person here, because all of us know this person, the one that's asking, God, Lord, please help me. How many of y'all know that person? Could be in this room right now. Could be a friend at home. Could be a cousin back at your hometown. Here are the seven things of how you answer a call. You can take the notes later. Look, I got to go fast. I got about 5 minutes. Listen, number one, a call to life. A call to what? God is calling you to life to live because Jesus lives as the light of the world. This is what it means that you don't have to be stuck. You don't have to be in, you know, quicksand. You don't have to feel like you're in regret. You don't have to feel like you're too old. You don't have to feel like I messed up. I didn't do a right job with my children. I know there are people in our ministry, both, you know, all both first service and second service, that have broken relationships with their adult children. But God has not given up. I know you've done everything you could. I know you've sweated. I know you've prayed. I know you've sent flowers and letters and emails and all you can do to make up with them. But how many understand? It cannot be not power. It cannot be done by might. It has to be done by God's Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What God can do is far greater than anything we can do. But that's why we have to understand, I need Jesus' life. I'm going to answer your call, God, to do it your way so that, God, I can get your ways out of it. Somebody say amen. Listen, number two, when and how to answer a call. Number two is when lights are about to be out. Oh, y'all didn't get that, did you? You see, when it's about to be dark, this is the time more than any other that Jesus needs you to step up. This isn't time. Listen, if Moses was 80, as I just told you, why are we trying to get retirement? There can't be any retirement on Christianity. Come on. I'm not trying to settle out and settle in and just make it in. My God, you might not be able to do everything, but you can get a little step going. Somebody say amen. Number three, when you hear God's voice call you by name. I told you about one of the mentors, an international speaker that I've known for years, and I've modeled a lot of things that I've do. I've learned a great deal from him. I used to think, why did he use three names? He used his middle name and everything. I didn't understand why. I just thought he was trying to be different or something. Until I was sitting with him one time, and he says, no. When I was 13 years of age, I was on the front row of the church, and I heard Jesus call my middle name. And he says, you will go all around the world and preach the gospel. That's why he uses his middle name. You see, God knows how to call you by your nickname, your old name. You know, Sister Vivian, one of our sister daughters, an alumni of BCC, she says, you know what? God speaks my language called idiot. Are you with me? She says, look. I come from a way that I need God to speak my language, if it's street or not or whatever. And that may not do for you, but it doesn't matter. It's her language that she needs God to speak to her in. Somebody say amen. Amen. My point is, I'm trying to get us to understand when God calls you by name, that's how you answer a call. When God says Samuel, he called him by what? Amen. Number four, when God calls you repeatedly. When God calls you what? I can go after Moses. I can go after Jacob. I can go after Moses, Jacob, Abraham. God calls people repetitiously to do the same thing. And until you answer that call, he's going to keep calling you about the thing he asked you to do. Somebody say amen. The Bible says that he called Samuel a few times until God got the answer. Look at this, number five. When you are willing to pray and obey, do you remember what his name means? Three things. I skipped over that slide. His name means to hear, to listen to, and to obey.
when God called him is because he knew he was going to hear, he was going to listen to, and he was going to obey. And what was the first assignment he gave him? You had to go and tell Eli that his family was going to have to vanish. So what did he have to do? He had to hear, he had to listen, and he had to obey. You see how to answer a call of God. Don't even play with God. When you're ready to hear God and do mighty things, you will hear your voice. He will hear his voice, call your name, and he will ask you to go out and do for him. Somebody say amen. Number six, when you are encountered by Jesus and his presence. Number seven, when you want to shine in purpose as stars. We round this thing out. Those are when, this is how. This is how you answer. This is what Samuel did. He says, here am I, speak, your servant hears. He said, here am I. Do you know there's at least five different people in the Bible that said this statement? Here am I. Here am what? When God calls you, you got to say, here am I, speak, your servant hears. This is why we talked about the word of God in January. That's how important Jesus' word is. That's how important hearing his voice is. It's so that when you hear him, you say, speak, your servant hears. Say it with me. Here am I. Speak, your servant hears. I hope you took a picture of these two notes. I know I'm going fast. Look at this. This is what faith is. By faith, you surrender. You what? This is very important, everybody. Not striving. You grow by faith by surrendering, not by striving. Can I break that down for just a second? In the tabernacle, when they were in the Old Testament, they had to stay awake and do everything to keep trimming that candle. That's striving. We live in the New Testament where Jesus moved on the inside of us by the Holy Spirit, and that light is now living on the inside of us. So therefore, that's why we can be the light of the world, because we no longer have to strive to keep it lit. Jesus is lit in us all the time. That's what it means to be able to surrender to him, because we now shine for him and we never go out. There's never a moment that our light goes out in Jesus. We're forever light. We're ever burning. We're forever a star. That's why we shine brightly. Somebody say amen. Physical obedience leads to spiritual release. You see, when you do what God asks you to do, it may require for you to do something obediently. Oh, let me come over on this side. How many understand it takes a physical obedience? See, many of us want to grow in Christ, but it takes a physical obedience that leads to a spiritual release. You see, it's just not all spiritual. It's not just all invisible. It's if God says, go ask him, go knock on that door, make that cake, you know, make a baked cake, take it to the neighbor. You're like, I don't even bake cake for me. What am I going to bake a cake for them for? But if you do it, then all of a sudden that opens up something. You know what? I've been wanting to come next door. I was wondering, I'm in a situation. Could you pray for me? You're like, oh, my God, all I did was make a cake. But how many know when you obey God, that's what happens? Oh, my God. In purpose and as a person, you may stand to your feet. Play some of that music back there, if you will. I want to end on this of why we've been talking about stars. Say stars. Can we shine like stars? Say that with me. Can we shine like stars? Teenagers, students, scholars, theologians, I want you to listen to this. This is worth it all. You see, when you go outside at night and gaze upon, don't turn the lights down. When you go outside at night and gaze upon the sky, it seems eternal and unchanging. But that's our human limitation, coloring our minds. We live on a much shorter time scale than the stars. But we've studied them, learned about them, and now have a great deal of understanding about them. Are you ready? How far away are stars that are shining and we see? Some of you all that are really well approved in some of these things, and get this, stars are light years away. Stars are what?
Light years away.
Did you like the Dad Weiss cup? Stars are what?
Light years away.
But they're shining. You see, when looking at stars, you're actually looking into the past. When you're looking at stars, you're looking into the past. Many of those stars we see at night are already dead. They don't even exist anymore. They are light years away. This is so important, because which possibly means they may not even exist anymore, but we are now receiving their light. Oh, my God. I have a question to ask you. What are you and I doing that we are letting our light shine in the world?
world today so that long after we are gone, long after we are dead, sitting in eternity with Jesus, that what we've done on earth is still shining for people to know Jesus, to come to the Lord, to be a blessing. I not only want to be a blessing to my children's 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 children, but I want to be a blessing to the cities I've lived in, the communities I was a part of, my family that was extended. I want to be a part of everyone that come to know Jesus. Somebody say amen. Pastor, do you have any examples? Wait a minute. Jesus is called the bright and morning star, and he is still shining, and he is still saving. He is still the light of the world, and therefore, we are to be like a city on a hill. We are not supposed to be under a bushel or a basket. We are supposed to be shining in the midst of the darkness. Somebody say amen. Last thought. Christine Kane, when she moved to the States, she says she took her daughter to Walmart. They don't have those in Australia or whatever. And her daughter thought it was such a cool thing to go into Walmart and buy something or whatever. And she says, Mom, can I have a flashlight? She said, yeah, honey, go ahead. Let's get a flashlight. So she gets a flashlight, and they're standing in line. And she says, you know how children are. They get excited about, can I get? Mommy, can I have the flashlight yet? Just a minute. She paid for it. And she said, Mommy, can I have it? And she took the light. Her daughter took the light and she turned the light on. And she couldn't see anything. The reason she couldn't see anything, because you don't need light in light. Did you hear what I said? You don't need light when you're in light. Oh, I know we come in here and we rejoice, Pastor Nathan. Oh, I know we come in here, Matthew. I know we come in here, Ethan, Sabrina. I know, and we all lighten it up and encouraging one another in here. But what we need more is to go out where the darkness is. We need to be the stars that's against the contrast of the dark world. Because if the light's about out, it means it's going to be joy in the morning. We need to be the light of the world. Just as Jesus said, we need to let our light shine in the world. Guess what the little girl said? Mommy, take me to where it's dark. Christine Kane says she had more understanding than I did. Because if you're in the darkness, then you can see the light. Father, we thank you that you want us to shine brightly. But for the one, Lord God, right now in this room that may have regrets because they feel like they missed their moment. They feel like, God, I messed up my path and I don't know how God can redeem the time. I pray for their hearts to be changed and softened right now. No more striving. Now it's time for surrendering. Surrender to the light of the world so that he can light you. Father, I thank you. While driving here today, you said, Taran, pray. Pray for those that feel defeated. Not the ones that have lost something, but the ones that feel like they're living in a constant defeat. So I ask God, as I stretch forth my voice and stretch forth my faith into you, have faith in God, that you would cause those that have need of light to come out of the darkness because your light shines on their hearts. If you're in this room right now, listen. I said this, and I just want to tell you, it's a true story. About 6 years ago, right before Luke went to college, we were standing, look up right quick. We were right here. We was in a room of a prayer meeting or something. And there was just no possible way that we knew we couldn't get Luke to go to school. the places that, you know, he wanted to go, there's, I mean, when I say it was impossible, it was impossible. It was not a possibility. It was nowhere. I don't care what calculator you use. I don't care what budget you had. It was not going to happen. I felt like an absolute complete failure because I didn't do it right. I didn't save money. I wasn't ready to help him. And here it is, a man, little boy, you know, got great grades and all this, what a dream to just go to school. I felt defeated. I felt what? I didn't feel like I just had a loss. I felt like I was what? Defeated. And we were standing right here, and Pastor Jeremy, he prayed for us. How many know sometimes we just need somebody to pray for us? Because we didn't have it. He prayed like it was going to happen. I had already made up my mind it wasn't going to happen. He prayed like it was going to happen. Not only did it happen, but the young boy was able to go to the school that he had dreamed about. Come on and give the Lord a big praise offering. Come on! We're going to dismiss. Pastor Nathan's here, Weiss Cubs, Thompson's. Ministers are here, other pastors are here. But if you need somebody to